Thank you, Amy. Beautiful song, beautiful singing. Good message, strong message. I would like for us to recognize our pianist, Kristi Maloof, who is having birthday tomorrow. Where is Kristi? She's so shy. She walked away. We did it in the first service. And then what else? Eli Nichols has having a birthday Tuesday, am I right? Eli? Where's Eli? There he is. Congratulations. And Ethan Hausen is having indeed birthday as well on Tuesday. If you see, Ethan, the family was here in the first service, so please congratulate him. Lots of birthdays. Here are the people among us at this time having birthdays. So this is Love Sunday, fourth Sunday of Advent, and the theme is love. I believe every Sunday should be Love Sunday, am I right? And every day should be Love Sunday. As we think about God's love and all that it has brought to us, we are about to celebrate the love of Jesus Christ who came to us the first Christmas. Now, as well, I was preparing for this message, I don't know whether I would call it revelation. Revelation may be a little bit too big word. I hesitate to use revelation because there are revelations in the Bible, and sometimes people say they have this revelation, and then people who listen to that have reason to question it. But let me say it was something. Maybe I was in my deeper thoughts when, as I start preparing for this message. So all of a sudden, I start seeing lots of signs in front of the houses, in front of the lawns, signs. And there were lots of them, some bigger, some smaller signs. And then there are signs in front of the schools. And even as I recognize, there are signs, big signs in front of some churches, in front of their church lawns, signs with all carrying the same message. Love needed here. Love needed here. And I was wondering, what is this all about? What is this all about? The only way to understand for myself was that, yes, love is needed maybe more than ever before today in our homes, houses, schools, churches, working places, and so forth. Love is very much needed. And this is why I titled this sermon, Love is Much More. You see, it's an open-end question. If you were to ask, how much is love? You ask somebody who you believe know much more about it. I'm talking about divine love of God than maybe you do know about it. And then after making a list, he might say, well, yet it is much more than this. Much more than I can understand, much more than I can comprehend. Love is much more. And when you think about God's love, the little we understand about it, we can say this morning as we celebrate God's love on the fourth Sunday of Advent, yes, it is much more than I understand. So the fourth Sunday of Advent message focuses on love. God's love, divine love. On God's immense sacrificial love by sending his son Jesus Christ into this world of trouble. Some may even describe it world with lots of mess. Now this love is welcoming love coming from God. It is welcoming love. Come, experience it, see it. Welcoming others to accept Christ into their hearts as God has welcomed us. If we realize how much it means to us that God welcomed us to come to him through his son, Jesus Christ, by loving us, I think we would get busier in welcoming others to experience the same wonderful blessing of salvation. This love is like the Greek word agape says, love which is patient, self-giving, and everlasting with divine quality. Divine quality. Apostle Paul, who obviously had grasped much more about this love than some of us, he writes in his first letter to Corinthians chapter 13, beginning this chapter, he writes, even I could speak all of the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, other translations that didn't know God, I would only be a noisy gong or a glancing cymbal. It is something to be noisy gong and glancing cymbal, but it is not much comparing to love. It is not much at all. Because this love, it lasts, and it is greater than anything else. When everything else is gone, it still remains, this love of God. It is love that wins everything, conquers everything and all, even death. Have you been thinking about it? It is love that remains and reminds us about the faithfulness of God and to be faithful to him at his second coming. Did you know that main purpose of Advent season is to get us ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus we worship, he has already come over 2,000 years ago. As we meditate upon Christmas and Christmas reading, holy readings about this season, it witnessed to us that he already came. So we are waiting for his second coming when he comes to his church. First thing for us to remember this morning, the Advent candle that we just lit, candle of love, reminds us about God's unconditional love. Unconditional. Now you and I don't have unconditional love. Your love and my love is conditional love, because we can love anybody unconditionally. We just cannot. But God can. That's the difference between your love and God's love. God's love is self-giving, unconditional, sacrificial love. And this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, as we have announced it. And the candle we lit is symbolizing the nearing arrival of the true love of Jesus Christ. Have you received God's love into your heart? What I mean by this question is Jesus in your heart. Young people, children, grown-ups, elderly, is God's love in your heart? Do you know Jesus in person? His love, this love, is love that God himself manifested. Apostle John, who was called actually the apostle of love, in his first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, he writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. For God is love. In the Gospel of John 3:16, we come to know that God's love is the gift of the Son. As Jesus says in this Gospel, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, who is the expression of God's love, who believes in Him will never perish but have eternal life. What more can love provide for us than eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven? Have we received this life through Jesus? Did you know that He loves you? He died for you on the cross of Calvary, and He offers this love for you for free as a gift from Him. Have you accepted Him? And what is your response to God's love? What do you say when you hear about this love? Church, what do we say to God when we hear about this love? First of all, we are called to know God, who is love. You've been invited to know God, who loves you, who cares for you. And then, going from there, loving one another, extending, welcoming, compassionate love to others as God loves you. And God loves me and us. There's a story about Elizabeth, Mary and Elizabeth in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Actually, to me, it should have been Gospel reading today, but I didn't write lectionary reading, so don't let them know that I criticized them about this. I don't want to get in trouble. I was not sitting in the office and doing that job. It was then. Like Elizabeth, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, remember welcoming Mary. We go back to this text a little later in this message. Love also can create space, space of God for others, especially who struggle. Thinking about this young Mary being 15 years old, expecting baby, being early along with her pregnancy. Thank God there's cousin Elizabeth to go and talk about it, who created love, loving space for Mary to talk about it. Our evangelism team wanted to launch a program, maybe launching a program a little bit too much to say, encourage church members this Christmas to give a gift to somebody you don't normally give a gift. And you are not expecting anything in return. Following godly model to give gift to somebody who were not expecting it maybe from you. We give a little gift to somebody who we believe needs more love at this time than somebody else. So the team wanted to choose a few members of our church family. They asked me to write a list, and as I started writing that list, it went on and on and on and on. And then I thought we all need that extra amount of love at this Christmas time, but some of us more. It's been a challenging year, maybe you, my friend, in the church this morning, or somebody watching this worship through Facebook. It's been a difficult year. You've been dealing illnesses and challenges. Maybe losses, maybe loss of your loved one and family member. It is a little way to say that I love you. I extend my thoughts upon you. I leave myself alone for a little while and I think about you. I pray for you. I love you. And it doesn't take big investments. It just takes time and love and care from your side. I think we've been very successful in that. It can be little things if you want to join us, little things. It don't need to be anything big. Sometimes little things are the best ones. Through these little things and actions, you are responding to God's invitation to extend your love to those who may need it more than maybe anybody else at this time. There are lots of opportunities for you to extend your love this Christmas time. Going back to Mary and Elizabeth, Mary's visit to Elizabeth showed love through welcoming, fellowship, recognizing God's favor on the humble. Listen what the Bible says, according to the Gospel of Luke. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? This is Elizabeth talking. When I heard your greeting, the body in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. It was a prophetic word from this cousin Elizabeth to Mary, who was so young and expecting a baby. And there comes Mary's response as we read from the Bible. It is called her song of praise, Mary's song of praise to the Lord. As she's magnifying the Lord, she says, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice on his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Think about a moment ago, this young lady, almost still a girl, teenage girl, arrived to visit her cousin. Think about her feelings. And being treated so very well with love and acceptance, she broke in saying, for the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. Done great things for me. How much she knew what is going to happen with her being pregnant for Jesus. The whole event between these two cousins were prophetic and full of God's love and acceptance. It reminds me about something that happened in my ministry several years ago. In the middle of night, Saturday night, I was called into the hospital to emergency room. And there's a family from our church. And I was just told that their daughter, who was 16 at that time, was taken into the emergency room, and if I can come over and be there, and there's something going on. And of course, I went there, and I didn't know anything what was going on, what to expect. So I learned bits and pieces. There's lots of other parents, and there's kids who had been involved. They'd been in some wild party in town, and then this crew left. There was a 16-year-old boy driving the car. And then this girlfriend of this boy, who was the daughter of this family, was probably 16 at that time as well. Then other kids in the car. And the driver was so drunk, the cops decided to pull them over and realize that this is not right. So, of course, he was taken into custody, but this girl was so out that the cops decided to take her into the emergency room to be treated and evaluated there. And there's probably somebody else from that team of youngsters, same thing. So that was going on when I walk in. And I'm sure that wasn't good news for the parents. All this new to them. My goodness sakes, our daughter, so out that she was staying in the emergency room, so drunk that she was staying in the emergency room. And then when some more tests were run, before too long, I was there when there was another news that this girl was expecting a baby. She was pregnant. She was 16 years old. She was high schooler. So the family was overwhelmed. The parents were overwhelmed. They were panicking. They were overwhelmed dealing with this. And I spent there for quite a long time, considering the next morning was Sunday morning and two services waiting. So I remember when I left there, I told this couple, I told them that, of course, after talking and listening to them, and you can imagine what the situation was, I said, well, after all, There are worse things in this world than somebody expecting a baby. There are worse things. Maybe this is not the most ideal thing, way to do it, but there are worse things in this world. And of course, there was lots of story after that. But now, after years, I met this couple. And they came to me and they greeted me. And she said, these were the words she said to me, Timo, there are worse things in this world than somebody expecting baby. My daughter is a counselor in high school. That girl, that baby that she was expecting is a big girl today, a middle schooler. They have two other kids, children. The family is doing well and they're active in the church and wonderful. Now, the dating with that boy didn't work out, but obviously she ended up finding somebody else later and established a family and they all work out well. Love can create space for circumstances to work out. It's the only one offering hope to people who are marginalized. Can you see that Mary, being a young lady, was maybe marginalized in Jewish community at that time? Expecting a baby and no father be found. Can you imagine the situation? There may be people among us who are marginalized by some way, many ways, actually, by the community. But friends, we are not marginalized to God. We are loved by God. God is searching to touch our lives and hearts by His love. All these stories of love challenges us to move beyond feelings to actions of love. What can we do about it? How we respond to it? How we welcome the lonely? How we welcome the marginalized? How we show God's love, that patient love, forgiving love, and enduring love in our daily lives where we are? You are in your mission field, I am in mine, and you need to respond from your context. And the last thing, love has victory because love is much more than anything else. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in the Bible demonstrate that love wins. Love conquers sin and death. It's bigger than anything else in this world. It is love that brings transformation, not just forgiveness. Both are needing. But it is love that brings transformation, change. If you are expecting some good things to happen in your life or somebody's life who is close to you, pray God's love to take over. If you choose to love, you have taken a side to victory. You are on power side if you choose to love. Maybe not immediately, but in long run, it will happen. Love has victory because love is much more than anything else, because love is Christ Himself. Same Apostle Paul, writing his first letter to Corinthians in the 13th chapter, he concludes his message in this chapter by saying that these three will remain. These three will remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Greatest of these is love. Do you know Christ's love in your heart, church? Are we practicing God's love in our daily lives? Something to take home. Love is a huge lesson, my friends. Every time when I preach about love, I feel that I am not qualified to preach about it. Yet any one of us are qualified to say something about it. Sometimes we have that feeling that we have to go back to the first grade to learn more. To go back to first grade. But after all, it is not a bad thing to be a first grader, am I right? It is a good spot to be. This Sunday we celebrate God's love who came to us in the first Christmas. The story of love continues through your life, through my life, through the life of the church. And it goes deeper and wider than ever before. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of giving. I won't hesitate to say that it is also action of love, am I right? Now, we don't have collections in this church. We can collect taxes. Sometimes I wish we would have that privilege. We don't. It's all based on your love relation with the Lord. If the ushers can come forward at this time.